trees. Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
My, oh my. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to the Jack Benny Show from the 1949 season and the 1939 season. Tonight, we kind of celebrate Jack's birthday, because Jack Benny was born on Valentine's Day. And Jack so often kind of did things differently, and he's going to do this birthday a little differently as well. Instead of us giving him presents, he's going to give a present to us. You see, I don't think I've ever brought you this episode before. We've been looping around doing the podcast. I came up to this one, and it was missing. And so I thought, oh, okay, this is one of the missing ones. So I looked it up. I had the script, and I was going, well, we could maybe re-record it or something. But then I thought, you know, why don't I just check to make sure that it's not in my inventory of new episodes? So I go check, and there it is. I'm like, wow, I don't think I've ever presented this one before. It's always been missing from my collection. So now I get a chance to present this to you, and I'm so excited to bring it to you. I haven't introduced a new Jack Benny episode in like a couple of years. I mean, really, I mean, I do kind of every once in a while create a new intro for an old episode I've introed before, but this is a brand new episode I don't think I've ever introed before. So this is from 1949. February 13th, the day before Jack's birthday. And on tonight's episode, they're going to talk a lot about his birthday, talk a little bit about the upcoming performance that he gives of The Hornbills at Midnight for Ford Radio Theater. And we already presented that a couple weeks ago. So if you haven't heard that, you might want to go back a couple weeks and it'll be there. Anyway, tonight we get a chance to have Bieber and Adairit play Gertrude, and Sarah Berner play Mabel. They're fabulous at both those characters. Mel Blanc is going to play Mr. Fink, who he plays on the television show. Have you ever seen the television episode? This is not one of my favorite episodes, but to just have it and have a new episode is insane. So I think that's great. So I hope you all enjoy this. The longtime listeners, this will be a new episode to you folks. A new Jack Benny episode, can you believe it? Anyway, so we'll have that episode. Following that, we have the Phil Harris Show with Flowers for Alice. Of course, must be about Phil trying to get Alice some flowers for Valentine's Day. What could go wrong with Phil? Just about anything. And then following that up, we'll have another Valentine's episode about Jack's birthday from 10 years earlier, 1939, the 12th of February, and it's the first episode featuring Carmichael the Polar Bear. I don't think he's called Carmichael in the episode, but you'll hear that on my intro later. And instead of Love Finds Andy Hardy, it's Love Finds Annie Hardy. So I assume Mary will probably play Annie Hardy. I don't know, but we'll see when we get there. But I hope you enjoy all three of these great episodes. And we're still doing a kind of a fundraiser. I want to apologize. It's been a crazy month where I've been behind episodes and all sorts of things. Even this episode was hard to get out there. We lost our power yesterday. I think we're going to lose it any minute now again. So we'll be caught up. But don't be surprised if a few days go by without me posting an episode. Because in Washington State, we're getting tons of snow. We're supposed to be getting, I think, 10 inches overnight tonight. Something like that. I can't imagine. I don't think the power lines have ever held up through 10 inches of snow. So I assume we'll lose power. But anyway, might as well make hay while the sun shines and while the power's working. So, and right now, it's snow is coming down. Oh, by the way, it's 2019. If you're hearing this sometime in the future, none of this applies. But if it's 2019... then this does apply. So anyway, and I want to thank you folks for donating to the podcast. That's been great. If you come to, what is it, jack_benny .podomatic.com, that's the Jack Benny site that I have. If you go to the right-hand side, there's all different sorts of ways to donate. What else? I don't know. If you haven't gone to the Judy Garland site lately, I would go to the Judy Garland. Listen to that. It's pretty amazing. The Judy Garland podcast. It's Judy Garland and Friends OTR podcast, or judy-garland.podomatic.com to get there. And without further ado, let's get into the episode. Enjoy.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Feeling low,
feeling tense,
these 8 words are common sense.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Your level best. That's just how you'll feel when you light up a lucky, because Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel and do your level best.
It's important to know that fine tobacco can do this for you. And
LSMFT, LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, mild, light, ripe tobacco that means real smoking enjoyment for you.
So next time you buy cigarettes, remember, Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the lucky level where you feel your best and do your best. Yes, smoke a lucky to feel your level best.
The Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, February 14th, is Valentine's Day, and it's also the birthday of the star of our show. So here he is, Jack Valentine Benny.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, that was very nice of you to remember my birthday. How did you ever think of it?
Well, Jack, a strange thing happened last night. I ate at that Chinese restaurant you recommended.
Uh-huh. And, Don, I hope you broke open one of those rice fortune cakes.
Oh, yes, I did. And the little paper said, 'Tis better to give than to receive, and Monday is Jack Benny's birthday.
And what did you bring me for a present, Don?
Well, it was too late to go shopping, so I brought you a pocket full of fried rice.
Too late to go shop. I told you to have lunch there, not dinner. Anyway, Don, I'll take the rice. There's a friend of mine getting married Wednesday. Thanks very much.
Well, tell me, Jack, how does it feel being a year older?
Don, I don't know. It seems strange to advance another year. But then, on the other hand, there's something exciting about reaching 40. Yes, sir.
Well, Jack, you may be 40, but I must say you look much younger.
Well, Don, it's nice of you to say that, but let's face it. I mean, my age is beginning to show, you know, a little wrinkle here, a gray hair there. Time marches on. Now, let's get on with the program.
Oh, wait a minute, Jack. Before we get into the show, I have a little surprise for you.
A surprise, Don?
Yes. Now, the whole audience is going to join in. All right, everybody. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jack Benny. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Wow. Thank you, everybody. Thanks very much.
Oh, wasn't that nice, Jack?
Yes, very nice, Don, but
what?
Well, I was watching one fellow sitting in the front row, and he didn't sing at all. As a matter of fact, he had a frown on his face, and I'm just curious to know why. Oh, mister.
Me.
Yeah, would you mind coming up here on the stage for a minute?
Okay.
Now, look, Mr.
Fink, F-I-N-Q-U-E, Fink.
Well, Mr. Fink, I'm just curious to know. You were the only one who didn't sing happy birthday to me. Why was that?
Do you sing to me on my birthday?
No, but then how can I? I don't even know when your birthday is.
It's December the 24th, and all you hear people singing is jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Not one word about Fink.
Well, that's too bad. Now, look, Mr. Fink.
F-I-N-Q-U-E.
I know.
Yeah, that's French.
Yes.
In Paris, it's Finke.
I don't care what it is. All I want to know is, if you've got this chip on your shoulder, why did you come in here in the first place?
Who wanted to come in? I was standing in line for the Amos and Andy show, and some guy came over and told me that they was giving away refrigerators in here.
Giving away refrigerators?
In radio, a program's either got to give you entertainment or a refrigerator. Now, where's my icebox?
You're not getting an icebox, so go sit down.
Okay. 12 programs this week, and I still ain't got a stick of furniture.
Keep quiet, please. Don, regardless of what just happened, I do appreciate...
Hello, Don.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Mary. It was awfully sweet of you to remember it.
Well, Jack, I must confess that I forgot all about your birthday, but a strange thing happened. Remember yesterday when you said I looked like I was gaining weight?
Yes.
Well, today as I came in the lobby of CBS, I stepped on the scale to weigh myself.
Uh-huh.
And a card came out saying, you weigh 112 pounds, you are kind to dogs, and tomorrow is Jack Benny's birthday.
No.
I couldn't believe it either, so I put in another penny, and a card came out that said, don't stand here all day, you got shopping to do.
Oh, well, did you do it?
Oh, I'll have something for you tomorrow.
Good, that's my birthday anyway. And just think, Mary, tomorrow I'll be 40.
40, eh?
Yes, 40.
Jack, let me ask you something.
What?
Many years ago, you were in vaudeville, weren't you?
Yes.
And many times you were on the same bill with Eddie Cantor.
Yes, I was.
And at that time, you and Cantor were the same age, weren't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, Jack, today Eddie Cantor admits that he's over 50. How come you're only 40?
Oh, I don't know. Just lucky, I guess. Anyway, Mary, now that I'm approaching middle age, I'll have to slow down the mad social world and cut down my nightlife a little, you know?
Oh, some nightlife. You have a hamburger at Simon's, squeeze the waitress's hand, and then run home and dream you're Errol Flynn.
Errol Flynn. Mary, if you're so smart, let me ask you a question. If I was born in 1909, how old would I be today?
Don't answer him, sister. He ain't giving away nothing.
You keep out of this.
Who's that?
Some guy named Fink.
F-I-N-Q-U-E.
I know. Don't pay any attention to him, Mary. There's one in every audience, you know.
By the way, Jack, my sister Babe wanted to send you a birthday card, but she didn't know your address, so she sent it to me.
Your sister Babe? Oh, have you got the card with you?
Yes, I'll read it to you. Congratulations. It's wonderful to be 40, Jack. I've been there twice, and I'm coming back.
Say, that's kind of cute.
Oh, Babe has a wonderful sense of humor.
Yeah. Remember the time she painted an extra toe on your uncle's foot, and he thought he had 7?
Wait a minute,
Mary. This is all very funny. It's very funny, but I think you've stalled long enough.
Stalled? What do you mean?
You know, every year on my birthday, you always give me a big kiss.
Oh, well, Jack, I sort of figured now that you're getting older, well, you might not be interested in kissing anymore.
Oh, I'm not, eh? Come here and I'll show you. There. How was that?
Thank you, Errol Flynn.
Well, said it. Now put me down. Thanks. I just wanted to show you that that being 40 doesn't... Oh, hello, Dennis. Hey, Dennis, you're just in time for your song.
Okay, Mr. Benny. I'm glad I got here in time. On the way down, I had to stop off at our family doctor's office and punch him in the nose.
You punched your doctor in the nose?
He had it coming. My mother told me what he did.
What?
When I was born, for no reason at all, he slapped me.
Dennis.
And my back was turned, too.
Dennis. Dennis, never mind that. Let's have your song.
Okay, but first, congratulations on your birthday.
Oh, well, it's awfully sweet of you to remember it, kid.
I never would have thought of it if you hadn't given me that ticket to the burlesque show last night.
Never mind, Dennis.
What did the burlesque show have to do with it?
Well, a girl came out to do a dance. Her bubble broke and a sign fell out saying, Monday is Jack Benny's birthday.
Dennis.
You must be popular. Boy, what applause you got.
All right, all right.
They whistled and everything.
Dennis.
What a fuss over a man's birthday.
Dennis, you found out it was my birthday. That's all that matters. Now, come on, let's have your song.
Okay. Gee, when I'm 40, I hope I don't look like him.
What did you say?
Sing, Dennis.
That's better.
Raindrops fall, la 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 la. I don't mind at all, la 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 la. When I get your call, la 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 la. There's a bluebird singing in my heart. Let the clouds hang low over the trees. Let the winds that blow go where they please. When you're near, I hear melody start. There's a bluebird singing in my heart. I want to dance in the street and say to people I meet, she's mine, all mine. I want to shout to the sun and say, come out to the sun. It's time to shine. So when things go wrong, la 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 la, I still have my song, la 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 la. Since you came along, la 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 la, there's a bluebird singing in my heart.
Sung by Dennis Day. Very good, Dennis. That was wonderful.
Congratulations on your birthday.
Dennis, you congratulated me already. Forget it.
I tried, but I can't get that bubble dancer out of my mind.
Well, force yourself. Say, Mary.
You know, Mr. Benny, it must be nice to have your birthday come on Valentine's Day.
Yes, kid, but there's only one thing against it. You know, so many famous people were born in the month of February. Longfellow, Lincoln, Washington, at... You know, it makes it hard for me to be outstanding.
I can imagine.
Of course, Of course, I don't want you to think for a minute that I'm comparing myself to a man like Washington.
Why not? Washington wore a wig, too.
Very clever, very clever. Did you make up that joke yourself, Mary?
Uh-huh.
And you, like that type of joke?
Yeah, I thought it was very funny.
I see. Hello, May Company? You can take the candle out of the window. Mary's coming home. You better watch it, sister. Another gag like that.
Hiya, Jackson. You sure look nifty, even though tomorrow you're going to be 30.
What?
Wait a minute, Phil. Nifty doesn't rhyme with 30.
I know, but it's better than breaking an old man's heart. Hiya, Liv.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, here you are, Jackson. I brought you a little birthday present.
Well, Phil, is it really too much to think that you, of all people, would remember my birthday?
Well, a funny thing happened. Last night I was in a bar and I happened to look up and I saw a little sign that said, Monday's Jack Benny's birthday.
Phil, that was written on the ceiling?
No, under the table.
I knew you'd see it.
Jack.
What?
Jack, why don't you open the present Phil gave you?
Phil's present?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Phil, this is swell.
What is it, Jack?
One glove. Phil, why in the world would you give me only one glove?
You never take your right hand out of your pocket anyway.
Now, wait a minute.
Hey, Jackson, look, all kidding aside, how old are you going to be tomorrow?
40.
Jackson, will you lay that on me again? I've been rehearsing my band and my ears are still folded.
I said I was going to be 40.
What are you talking about? You got toupees older than that.
Toupees?
And that's a factor, Max. Oh, Harris, you may not be with Columbia, but you're the gem of the ocean.
Phil, is that a natural point on your head, or are you advertising a pyramid club? Tell some of the most awful...
Oh, Jack, it's getting kind of late. Don't you think we ought to get started with that hillbilly sketch we're going to do tonight?
I'm glad you brought that up, Don. We're not going to do that sketch. From now on, we're going to do the finer type of play like they do on dramatic shows. After 17 years, about time, this show got a little class.
Well, Dad, if you want to class things up a little, next week I'll have the band wear tuxedos.
Phil, if you can just get them to tuck in their shirts, I'll be happy. Anyway, kids, from now on, we're going to do a higher class of comedy. The kind
Happy
that...
Happy birthday, Mr. Benny.
Huh?
That bubble dance is driving me nuts.
Dennis, go sit down.
Jack, what do you want to change your program for?
Well, Don's right. Last week, you tried to get on the Ford Theater with Claudette Colbert and Vincent Price, and you know what happened. Fletcher Markle, the director, thought you were terrible.
Oh, he did, eh? Well, if Mr. Markle thought I was so terrible, why did he give me a contract to appear on the Ford Theater March 4th?
No kidding, Jackson. You going to be on the Ford Theater?
Yes, sir, on March 4th. And just wait till you hear the performance I give. It'll live. It'll sparkle. It'll bubble.
Dennis! Happy birthday.
Forget about that girl. Anyway, kids, I've got a contract to appear on the Ford Theater March 4th, and I can't wait till I get on it.
What play are you going to do, Jack?
The Horn Blows at Midnight.
What?
You heard me. I'm going to do The Horn Blows at Midnight.
You wouldn't dare.
I wouldn't dare. Just wait and see.
Well, Jackson, that proves you must be at least 60.
Why?
Nobody could get that much guts in 40 years.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't care what any of you kids think. I'm going to prove once and for all that The Horn Blows at Midnight is a great story.
That's telling, Mr. Benny.
Thanks, Dennis. Did you see the picture?
Yeah, I saw it 4 years ago when I was in the service.
Oh, did the Navy show my picture to the boys?
No, to the Japs, but I snuck in.
All right, you can all say what you want to, but I'm going to do The Horn Blows at Midnight.
Now you're talking. My wife saw that picture, and it was wonderful.
It was, Mr. Fink?
Yeah, they let her in for nothing, and they gave her 4 sets of dishes.
Well, why didn't you go?
I'm holding out for an icebox.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Now, kids, getting back to the show that I'm going
to do... Oh, say, Jack, before you go any further, I think it's time for the song by the quartet.
Oh, yes, that's right. Are the sportsmen here?
Yeah. Come on in, fellas. Now, Jack, these boys want to dedicate this number to you on the happy occasion of your birthday because this song has been associated with you for years.
Well, that's very nice, Don.
Come on, fellas, take it.
be the trees that fill the breeze with fragrance that we all like. Oh, no, it isn't the trees, it's Lucky Strike. Can it be the sun that's so much fun when you are out on a hike? Oh, no, it isn't the sun, it's Lucky Strike.
Way down in Kentucky, they planted a seed. It grew to a lucky
to give you that smoking pleasure.
That's beautiful.
Is it all a dream, this joy supreme that we sing into this mic? Oh, no, it isn't a dream, it's Lucky Strike. Feeling low, feeling tense, these 8 words are common sense. Happy birthday, and feel your level best. Happy birthday, and may you always feel your level best.
That was wonderful, boys. Thanks very much. Say, Mary, wasn't it nice for the quartet to sing a number just... Hey, Mary, I just thought of a wonderful joke. Mary, ask me why we have quartets here in America, but in Scotland they only have quintets. Ask me that. Go ahead. That's it.
All right, Jack. Why do they only have quintets in Scotland?
Because all scotch comes in fifths. Say, how about that one? Pretty good, huh?
Jack, did you make up that joke all by yourself?
Yeah.
And you like that joke?
I thought it was pretty clever.
You did, eh? Hello, NBC? Leave the back door open. Blue Eyes is coming home.
Mary, if you try to get even with me, it didn't work. I'm staying here at CBS till something freezes over.
It ain't gonna be no refrigerator.
Oh, keep still! I thought he left already.
Oh, say, Jack.
Yes, Don?
While the quartet was singing, this telegram came for you.
A telegram for me?
Yeah, Jack, I took the liberty of giving the boy a 25-cent tip.
Oh. Well, here's a nickel, Don, and you're at liberty to chase the boy for the other 20 cents. Give me the telegram. Thanks. Gee, it's from my sister, Florence.
What does she say?
She says, Dear Jack, I've been listening to your program, and I thought I should send you this wire immediately. You're mistaken about your age. You're not going to be 40 years old tomorrow. You're going to be... Oh, no. No, this can't be. This is awful.
Well, Jack, how old does your sister say you're going to be tomorrow?
39. Oh, my goodness, this is embarrassing. But my sister Florence ought to know. I guess instead of being born in 1909, it was 1910.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. How could you be born in 1910? I happen to know that in 1917, you were in the Navy.
Well, of course I was in the Navy. You think I'm a slacker?
Well, how old were you then?
7.
7? How could
Mary,
you
Mary, don't argue with me. They measured me for a uniform, cut off my curls at the same time.
But, Jack, if you were only 7 years old, how could you possibly get in the Navy?
I owned a battleship, and shut up. Anyway, this thing has got me puzzled. I'm going to call Rochester and have him look up my birth certificate. My sister Florence says I'm 39. I think I'm 40. I'm going to find out.
Say, Mabel, what is it, Gertrude? Mr. Benny's line is flashing.
Yeah, I wonder what King Midas wants now.
I'll plug in and find out. Yes, Mr. Benny. Yes, I'll call your house immediately. He wants I should get him Rochester. You know what, Mabel?
What?
I never saw a man like Mr. Benny. He has such a split personality. On the radio, he's one type of person, and in real life, he's an entirely different type of person.
Yeah, and I don't like either one of them.
Well, I like him. But you know what? Last week, he tried to make me jealous by going out with another girl.
Was she cute?
cute. Eh. You should have seen her. Buttons and bow legs.
So what? You're bow-legged.
I am not.
You are, too. When you wear white stockings, you look like the O in Honest John.
All right. At least I'm commercial.
Operator. Gertrude, get me my hole.
I'm trying. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Well, you girls ought to know. You helped build it.
For this, they paid $2 million.
Never mind. Now, please ring my home.
Okay. I'm ringing it.
Smart Alec Gertrude. Takes you out. She takes you out to dinner once. She thinks she owns you. Oh, well.
Mr. Benny's residence, star, stage, radio, and silent pictures.
Rochester, it's me.
Oh, hello, boss.
Look, what took you so long to answer the phone?
Well, tomorrow's your birthday, and I was out in the kitchen finishing your cake.
The cake?
Yeah, you ought to see it, boss. Across the top in whipped cream, I wrote, Happy Birthday.
Well, that's nice, Rochester.
By the way, how many peas in happy?
Two.
Uh-oh.
Oh, so you better add one.
Add one? I better cross one out. I got three.
You can do that later. Now, Rochester, here's why I called you. I don't know what to do. I thought tomorrow was going to be my 40th birthday. But I just got a wire from my sister, and she says I'm going to be 39.
Well, don't argue with her, boss. Grab it.
Rochester, I got to be honest with myself. Now, I want you to look at my birth certificate and tell me the date on it.
Your birth certificate?
Yeah, do you know where it is?
It's right here on the desk.
What's my birth certificate doing on the desk?
You got it out the other day when you applied for your old age pension.
Oh, I just did that for a gag.
Well, they must be laughing. Your first check came today.
Rochester, stop making things up. Now, look at my birth certificate.
I'm looking at it.
Now, in the space where it says date of birth, what's there?
A hole.
A hole in the paper?
Yeah, we erased it once too often.
Oh, well, then there's nothing I can do, and I'll have to take my sister's word for it.
I guess so, boss. Your sister must be right.
Yep, I'm 39. Goodbye, Rochester.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
What are you laughing at?
Are we devils?
You and me?
No, me and your sister.
Yeah. Goodbye, Rochester. Goodbye.
Jack will be back in just a moment, but first...
Smoke a lucky to be your level best. Smoke a lucky to be your level best.
You see, Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense. It's good to know that fine tobacco can do this for you, and that's why it's so important that you select and smoke the cigarette of fine tobacco Lucky Strike. For as you know, L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. No wonder more independent tobacco experts, auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen smoke Lucky Strike regularly than the next two leading brands combined. Yes, Luckies are the overwhelming choice of the men who really know tobacco. So when you choose your cigarette, remember that Luckies fine tobacco puts you on the right level to feel your best and do your best. That's the Lucky level.
Feeling low,
feeling tense,
these eight words are common sense.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Well, come on, Mary. The car's right around the corner. I'll drive you home.
Okay.
You know, Mary, that was a pretty good program we just did, but I think...
Hey, Benny. Benny.
Huh? Oh, it's you, Mr. Fing.
Yeah, don't you know some program I can go on and win a refrigerator?
No, I don't. Come on, Mary.
Well, I'm going to get a refrigerator even if I have to buy one.
Well, I don't care if... Buy one? Get in the car, mister.
Jack!
Let him sit in front, Mary. It's more comfortable. Good night, folks.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Yes, it's Sunday, time for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall Drug Products and your Rexall Family Druggist.
Good evening. This is your Rexall Family Druggist, taking a little time from behind the prescription counter this Sunday evening to speak for all 10,000 of us. The 10,000 independent druggists who have added the word Rexall to our own store names. You can always tell us by the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. The sign means that we carry the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. They range all the way from aspirin to penicillin. And they're as fine and pure and dependable as science can make them. We independent druggists recommend them to our customers because we know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall Family Druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and like most women, Alice is sentimental about the occasion. On the other hand, Phil, like most married men, has been inclined to forget how much the day means to a woman. This year, Alice is making sure that Phil will remember by plotting a little strategy with the children.
Now look, girls, when Daddy comes down to breakfast, just remind him that tomorrow is Valentine's Day. This year, I want to make sure he buys me a present. Oh, I'll get it. Now listen, don't let Daddy know that I mentioned anything to you.
Okay, Mommy. Phyllis, we've got to be careful when we talk to Daddy. We mustn't let him know that we're...
Hey, where is everybody? Ooh, I'm still asleep. Can't get my eyes open.
Good morning, Daddy. Do you know what day tomorrow is?
Tomorrow? Take it slow, kids. Let me get used to today first.
Tomorrow is an important day. It's February the 14th.
It is? Already? Certainly creeps up on you, don't it?
Then you didn't forget it.
Of course not. How could I forget the opening day of National Cheese Week?
It isn't that, Daddy. We'll give you a hint. It's V-A-L-E-N-T-I-N-E day.
No.
Yes. Are you going to buy Mommy a present?
I'm supposed to buy her a present for Groundhog Day?
I must have spelled it wrong. Daddy, tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Oh, of course. I knew it all the time. How can I forget a day like that?
Did you buy Mommy a present?
Well, I'm going to. As soon as I have my breakfast, I'm going down and get her...
Phil, they just came.
Well, isn't that nice? What just came?
A dozen nasturtiums.
Good. Dip them in butter and saute them. I love fish for breakfast.
Billy, they're flowers. They just arrived, and listen to the card that's with them. To my Valentine, with your limpid eyes and turned-up nose, you have the freshness of a rose. Your lovely hair and smile so sweet is a combination that's hard to beat. Signed, guess who? Oh, I think that's a beautiful sentiment.
So do I. I wonder who could have sent me them flowers.
Phil, stop kidding. The flowers are for me, and you sent them, didn't you?
Well, naturally. Of course. Who else would send them?
Well, Phil, how come you remembered Valentine's Day this year?
How could I forget it, little mud? You know, honey, I'm lucky to have someone like you to send a Valentine to. You know, a lot of other guys don't have anyone. Like Frankie. Now, there's a poor guy
who... That reminds me, Phil. Frankie called this morning.
You know something? I haven't heard from him since he lost a job with a band last week. Did he say what he was doing, honey?
No, he didn't.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, I ain't worried about Remley. He's a very clever guy. Losing his job as a musician will give him a chance to really do bigger things. You know, he's the kind of a guy who will be a big success. I'll get it out.
Hey, pal, would you like to buy some shoelaces?
Frankie, look, come on in here, will you? You selling shoelaces?
Also razor blades, violets. Genuine imported Argyle socks, 15 cents a pair.
Remley, what are you doing?
Making a living. You fired me. I got to do something. You got any scissors you want sharpened or a... There's anything you want, I can get it.
I don't want anything.
How would you like to be number two on a pyramid list?
Remley, I just got up. I haven't got my eyes open. Will you please cut it out? Let's just keep it quiet for a minute, will you? Going around selling things like this. You don't have to do that. Why, with your brains and talent, you could be what... Well, you could certainly be... I'll take two pair of the shoelaces. The orange ones. Remley, I never thought I'd see the day that you'd be doing this.
You're the one who fired me. It's all your fault. You made me what I am. I hope you're satisfied.
What's that for?
I sing for pennies, too.
Look, Remley, I told you that I didn't fire you. The sponsor did.
There must have been something you could have done to save my job.
I tried to, but the sponsor insisted. He said if I didn't fire you, he'd fire me.
He gave you an alternative. Why didn't you take it? The least you could have done for your sickly friend.
Oh, Frank. I didn't know you were sick. Well, look, kid. If there's anything I can do for you, anything I can give you, just say the word. Everything I got is yours.
No charity, please. All I want is my job back. All I ask for is my birthright. As an American, the chance to make a living, to walk in the sun again, to feel the wind in my hair. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Are you finished, Camille? Look, so you lost your job. Why don't you be a man instead of trying to get sympathy from people?
I'm not trying to get sympathy from anybody. I can't help it if I'm sickly because I haven't eaten for 3 days.
You haven't what?
I haven't eaten.
Now, don't come in here
days.
Telling me
that... Who is that at the door? Oh, hello, Frankie.
Gad, she looks well fed. Buy some violets for the lady, mister. Give me a few pennies for food.
Oh, Frankie, if you're hungry, I'll cook something for you.
I can't wait that long. Just give me the scraps from the breakfast table.
Pay no attention to him, honey.
You stay out of this, Curly. Alice, I tell you, I'm starved.
Well, I'll get you something to eat right now, and... Oh, I'll see who it is.
Flowers for Mrs. Harris.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Phil. More flowers, and this time you sent American Beauties.
I did?
Oh, honey, you know you did. The card is signed Guess Who Again. Oh, darling, it's so sweet of you to do this.
About the food.
Don't mention it, Alice. You know, you're a sweetheart, and I love to get things for you.
About the food.
Oh, I'm the luckiest, luckiest girl in the world to have a husband like you.
Food. And I'm even luckier to have a wife like you. Oh.
Oh, that's
hey.
So sweet.
Well, I love getting it.
But
for
it's so
you.
Sweet.
Well, you should have
well,
it.
Well, you make me so happy.
London Fontan. Can't we do this later? I'm hungry.
Remley, will you stop already?
Oh, let him talk, Phil. Nothing he says can bother me today. I'm too happy. Flies in the buttermilk, shoo, shoo, shoo. Flies in the buttermilk, shoo, shoo, shoo. Lost my partner, what'll I do? Lost my partner, what'll I do? Lost my partner, what'll I do? Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Skip to Maloo, my darling.
I'll get another one prettier than you. I'll get another one prettier than you. I'll get another one prettier than you. Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Can't get a red bird, a blue bird'll do. Can't get a red bird, a blue bird'll do. Can't get a red bird, a blue bird'll do. Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Skip to Maloo, skip to Maloo, my darling.
Little red wagon painted blue.
Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Fly in the sugar bowl, shoe fly, shoe.
Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Gone again, what'll I do?
Flies in the sugar bowl, shoe fly, shoe.
Cows in the cornfield, two by two.
Flies in the buttermilk, shoe fly, shoe.
One old boot
and a rundown shoe. Lost my partner.
Oh, what'll I do?
Lost my partner.
What'll I do?
Lost my partner.
What'll I do?
Skip to Maloo, my darling. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Lulu, skip to Maloo. Skip to Maloo.
My darling.
Fine thing. I'm starving and she sings.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frankie. I'll go get you something to eat right now. And Phil, honey, thanks again for the flowers.
That's okay, Ma. That's okay.
Hey, Curly, how come you're sending flowers to Alice? What have you been up to that I haven't, but that I've been left out of? Want to do that again?
Might as well try it once more. We're over anyway. You're headed for another network, Clyde. Have one more go at it. Take it.
What have you been up to that I've been left out of?
I haven't been up to nothing. Keep this up, we'll both be headed for another. Look, the flowers are for Valentine's Day, but I didn't send them.
What's she thanking you for?
She just thinks I sent them. Isn't it wonderful? Some other guy's sending flowers to my wife, and I'm getting all the credit. I'm getting.
Yeah, aren't you?
Wait a minute. Hey, Frankie, now, just a second. We both know that there's not another man in Alice's life, so let's just forget about
okay,
it, huh?
Okay, okay. Got any idea who the guy can be?
I keep telling you, there's no other man. Hey, wait a minute, I know.
What?
Hey, Alice is sending the flowers to herself just to make me jealous.
Sure.
That's a solution, isn't it, Frankie?
I still like the other man angle. Has more exciting possibilities.
Frankie, why should Alice be interested in another guy?
Let's be brutally frank, shall we? You're starting to show your age. Your eyes aren't as bright as they used to be. Your cheeks have lost their color. Your complexion is sallow. And you've got a few wrinkles showing.
That's irreverent. And besides, I haven't changed a bit. My eyes still have the deep blue of two succulent grapes. There are apples in my cheeks, and my complexion is that of a peach.
Well, skip to Maloo. You still got wrinkles.
Them ain't wrinkles. Them are irrigation ditches to water all that fruit.
I don't get it. He comes up with things like that, and I'm the one that gets fired.
Rambler, let's just... Will you do me a favor? Let's just forget about the flowers. I don't know who's sending them, but... Come in!
Here you are, bud. Flowers for Mrs. Phil Harris.
More flowers? Hey, wait a minute, kid. Come back. I want to find out...
More flowers. Yeah.
Hey, Remley, look at this card. It's from Guess Who Again.
Beautiful floral piece. One thing about your rival, he ain't cheap.
I keep telling you, there's no rival.
Phil,
now, what...
Phil, who rang the bell? Oh, Phil, more flowers. And it's a plant this time. Why, it's a variegated philodendron.
You said it. And I'm glad you said it, because I wouldn't touch that kid with a fork.
It's very thoughtful of you to send me all these flowers.
That's all right, Alice. Hey, I just had a silly thought. You know, I sent all these flowers, but wouldn't it be funny if Guess Who were some other guy?
Oh, nonsense, Phil. Who else could they be from?
That's right. That's right. There isn't any other man you know who'd be sending you flowers, is there?
No. Unless they're from Johnny, Bruce, Terry, Kenneth, Al, Harold, Andy, Paul, Harry, Walter, George, Sam...
Hold it!
Manny, Moe, and Jack.
What'd you do, get hold of an army roll call? Who are all those guys?
Oh, they're just a few of the boys I went out with before I was married. See you later, Phil.
That does it, Remley.
Yeah?
We're going down to the florist shop and find out what guy is sending those flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find out who's sending them. Alice thinks she's smart, rattling off all them names, Manny, Moe, and Mac. And I wonder what she'd say if I told her about Minnie.
Minnie? Well.
Watch your blood pressure. It's just a dream I had last night. Last night, I dreamed that I was down in the bottom of the sea, down in that salty water. And I met a maiden fair who had a cottage there. It was a little FHA job, but anyway, we had it. She had a tail of a fish for a train, but whoa, now whoa, how that gal could entertain. And what a time I had with Minnie, the mermaid, down in the bottom of the sea. I lost all my troubles in amongst the bubbles. Why, she was just as sweet as she could be. And every night when the starfish came out, I hugged and kissed her so. Whoa, whoa, what a time I had with Minnie, the mermaid, down in her seaweed bungalow. Low, down in her seaweed bungalow. Ouch, what a time I had with Minnie, the mermaid, down in the bottom of the sea. I lost all my troubles in amongst the bubbles. Why, she was just as sweet as she could be. And every night when the starfish came out, I hugged and kissed her so. Oh, oh, what a time I had with Minnie, the mermaid, down in her seaweed bungalow. Low, down in her seaweed bungalow. And I sing with delight as I spend most the night beneath that billowy ocean with you. Many brave hearts are asleep in the deep, so beware, beware. Something, Remley, I'm getting madder every minute. If I find the guy who's sending flowers to my wife, I'll...
You'll what,
Billy? I'll punch him in the nose, that's what. I'll break every bone in his body. I'll throttle him with my bare hands.
Tell me more, you magnificent brute, you.
Oh, shut up. Now, there's the floral shop. Listen.
Hey, Curly, look who's about to go in. Julius.
Julius?
Yeah.
Well, there's your solution right there, that little character. That's who's doing it. I'll bet he's the guy. He's always calling Alice soulmate. Dream. Goodbye, dreamboat. I'll fix him. I'll tear him limb from limb.
Oh, wait a minute, Curly. Julius is only a kid. He can't be the one who's sending the flowers. He's the wrong guy.
Who cares? Can you think of anybody better to tear limb from limb?
Yeah, it might be fun at that. Let's ask him anyway.
Wait a minute, I'll take care of that. Hey, Julius.
Well, when did they let you guys out of the snake pit?
Happy today, huh, kid? Look, you've been sending flowers to my house today?
Yeah, I sent a plant, but I guess you didn't get it yet.
Yeah, I got it. I got it all right.
You did? Can't understand it.
You can't understand what?
How come you didn't break out with poison ivy yet?
Look, kid, all I want to know is, did you send any flowers to my wife? Well, answer me. Did you?
Hit me on the head! Want to make me stupid or something? I didn't send nothing to nobody.
Oh, no? Well, I'll tell you something. We're going to find out right now, and you're going with me. We're going in that florist shop and ask who's been sending them. Come on in.
Come on, Julia.
All right. Stop dragging me, you guys. I'm coming.
Oh, hello, Mr. Harris.
Oh, hello, Mr. Miller. I'd like to ask you something.
I'll be with you in a minute. I want to finish waiting on that gentleman there. Is there anything else, sir?
No. Gladiolas, asters, and roses will be enough.
Very well. I'll take them to the back room and arrange
them. By the way, put a card in for me and just say, to my beautiful Valentine and sign it, Guess Who.
All right.
Guess Who? Did you hear that, Curly? It ain't Julius. Guess Who's that guy over there?
You mean that big, brawny hunk of a bruiser there? Nah, Frankie, you must be mistaken.
Why?
Well, he's too big and muscular to be sending flowers to Alice. Let's look for a smaller guy. Let's get back to Julius. It's safer.
Now, Curly, stop stalling. That big guy must be the one. You said when you found him, you were going to throttle him. Well, go ahead. Start throttling.
But, Frankie, I'm trying to tell you he's much bigger than I
am. Don't worry. I'll help you.
You will?
Sure. I'll give you a boost so you can reach his throat.
Mr. Renly's right. If you're a man, you'll stop picking on little men and take care of that guy. Go on, ask him if he's the one who sent the flowers to your wife.
All right. But let's be careful not to offend the gentleman. He may be the wrong person. Pardon me, sir.
Yes?
Are you sending flowers to somebody?
What was that?
You heard him. He said, who are you sending flowers to?
Stop ad libbing. Mister, we just want to know if you're sending flowers to your mother or grandmother, maiden aunt, maybe?
It's none of your business, but I'm sending them to my wife.
See? It's a mistake, fellas. He's sending them to his wife.
His wife? A likely story. Hey, you, your wife happens to be the woman Curly's in love with.
He's in love with my... Oh, a fresh guy. I got a good mind to punch you right in the eye.
We'd like to see you try it. You
look... Hey, but you're asking for it.
Who's asking?
Don't let him bulldoze you, Mr. Harris. Stand up to him. It won't be for long.
Look, Bud, I didn't want any trouble with you. Just apologize for saying you're in love with my wife, and I won't hit you.
Why should he apologize? Mr. Harris got a right to be in love with your wife. He's married to her, and she's the mother of his two children.
That does it.
Oh, my eye.
Oh, what a shiner.
I've seen better. I bet he could improve on it if he tried. Hit him in the other eye, mister.
Hey, kid, you better keep out of this before I get real mad. Nobody's going to say anything about my wife and get away with it.
Ah, your wife's a lady.
Julia!
Look, mister, pay no attention to him. He's just saying that. Your wife ain't no lady.
She ain't, huh?
Oh, my other eye.
Look at those two black eyes.
Oh, what are you laughing at? What's so funny?
You look like a curly-headed raccoon. Don't just stand there, mister. Hit him again.
Julius, cut it out now. I ran out of eyes. Julius, don't be so bloodthirsty. Tell King Kong I don't even know his wife. Tell him it's a mistake.
All right, mister, this is all a mistake. Mr. Harris ain't in love with your wife.
He ain't?
No, but Mr. Remley is.
Wait a minute, mister. I wouldn't go out with your wife. I've never seen her. I'm the homie type. It's all a gag.
What did you say?
He said he wouldn't be seen with your wife because she's a homie old hag.
I could have sworn I said something else.
I ought to slug you too, but I don't dare.
Why not?
If I ever hit this punk, I'll kill him.
Talk is cheap. Prove it.
What are you, a talent scout for Forrest Long?
Look, you guys, I'm warning you. If you ever make another crack about my wife, I'll knock your roof in. Goodbye.
You and who else?
Oh, I'm glad that guy's gone. Two black eyes, and I didn't
even... I'm sorry to keep you waiting, Mr. Harris, but I... Mr. Harris, your mascara's running.
Don't be a wise florist. I just came in here because somebody's been sending flowers to my wife all day, and I want to find out who the jerk is.
Mr. Harris, surely you must know who's sending the flowers. Don't you remember?
Remember what?
You wanted to be sure you wouldn't forget Valentine's Day, so last year you left a standing order for me to send flowers every hour on Valentine's Day.
You mean the guy who's been sending all of these flowers is...
Yes. Jerky old black-eyed you.
No, and to think I went through all of this with her, I think I'll kill myself.
Mr. Harris, don't say that. Don't even think of killing yourself.
You don't want me to, Julius?
No, I'll get that big guy back to do it. You'll have him mess it up.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. But right now, a lady puts our Rexall family druggist on the spot.
I'd like to know what brand of drug products you use in your own home.
Why, Rexall, naturally.
Why naturally?
Well, it's not just because I carry the 2,000 or more quality drug products made by Rexall, if that's what you mean. No, it's because I know how those products are made. For instance, just a moment ago, I sold a customer an eye lotion made by the Rexall Drug Company. Now, I've watched that product go through Rexall's laboratory. I've seen how every single bottle is carefully inspected under a magnifying glass a foot wide, just to make doubly sure that it's absolutely clear and free of any foreign matter.
Well, it's an eye-opening example, isn't it?
Well, yes, ma'am, I guess you could call it that. And we independent Rexall druggists could give you a lot more such examples, but they all add up to this. Look for the store with the orange and blue Rexall sign on the window. That's the only place where you'll find Rexall drug products. And you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Alice, do my eyes look awful?
Yes, but don't worry, Phil. This beefsteak will help them.
Alice, about the food. I'm still hungry.
Stop it, will you, Remley? Haven't you got any sympathy for me? Don't you care if I... Frankie, stop licking my face.
Who's licking your face? I'm eating the steak.
Oh.
This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Included in today's cast were Hal March and Jack Mather. Alice Faye appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. This is Bill Foreman wishing good health to all from Rexall.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking.
Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from 1939. Tonight's episode features Jack's birthday. It's always fun this time of year to hit all these birthday shows in a row. Jack's birthday falling on Valentine's makes it especially nice. I want to thank you folks who've been donating, commemorating Jack's birthday. It's been very, very nice of you folks to do that. It's just a fun way to kind of tie in your donation with Jack. A lot of $39 donations coming in lately. I just am amazed that people thought of that before I even connected it all together. And then now that I've figured it out, more and more people are doing it all the time. Anyway, it's tonight's episode has the very first appearance of Carmichael, the polar bear, which is pretty cool. And he's not called Carmichael in this episode, but he will start next week, I think, being called Carmichael. And I don't think it's Mel doing the growl this time. I think Mel takes over maybe next week or the week after. But I'm not sure on that. I don't have it in front of me showing me who's in here, but it just seems like it's not Mel at the very beginning. The other things about this episode, it's a nice, clear-sounding episode. I love these when there's early episodes. Sounds so good. What else? I'm going to attach a poll to tonight's episode. The poll we've had all week. This is your last chance to vote in it. Tomorrow I'll share the results. I have not recorded tomorrow's episode yet. I won't record that for another 12 hours or 15 hours or something. So I'm going to post this right away, and then you'll have a number of hours to add your information to our poll. The poll is about how old you are as a listener. And you can have multiple answers. So a household, if you have three listeners in the household, you can put them all their ages in. It's just fine and dandy. I do have listeners already. As I looked at the poll, I have listeners from the 0 to 5-year-old age group, which is pretty cool. And I have listeners as high up as the 70 to 80-year-old age group. I don't think I have anything from 80 on up yet, but if you're one of those listeners, try and fill out that poll so that I know, so I can see if I have some older listeners. I think, obviously, these polls are kind of skewed towards my listeners that have the wherewithal to use the technology to get to the website to enter their the poll. So I realize that it's not going to be totally reflective of my listeners in general, but it does give us some information, which is pretty cool. And like I say, I'll be sharing that tomorrow. If you don't know how to get to the poll, the easiest way to do it is if you get on any computer anywhere and type in buckbenny.com, it'll take you to my website, which is the Podomatic website, and you'll see right there the very first show is going to have a poll connected to it that you look and you'll see the poll, and you just start clicking the buttons and hit submit, and it's that simple. I do on this poll have an area for comments. I've only had a couple people leave me comments. I used to have it tied into you had to be on Facebook, but this poll I unlinked it from Facebook, so anybody can leave a comment. You just type in your name or a fake name, whatever you want, and then just leave me a comment. That can be about the poll, it can be about my podcast, it can be about anything. I'll definitely read those comments. Anyway, without further ado, here's the Jack Benny Show for tonight.
J-E-L-L.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Kenny Baker, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Sing My Heart. You know, everybody likes to receive a compliment. It makes you feel mighty happy. And we've just received one which pleased us very much indeed. It's from Mrs. George A. Bradley, Garden City, Iowa. And Mrs. Bradley writes, After a long time, I am finally using the real and genuine Jell-O. And let me tell you, I was amazed at the difference. At first, I thought that fruity goodness was the fruit I myself had added. But when I served Jell-O without any additional fruit, it still had that grand fruit flavor. Why, I could hardly believe any gelatin dessert could be so good. From now on, I shall always get the real Jell-O. Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Bradley. That's a swell letter. And folks, it's true. The Jell-O does bring you delicious, extra-rich fruit flavor. It's a rich, satisfying, true fruit goodness that makes every Jell-O dessert a success. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. All six have that extra fruit flavor that simply can't be topped. So be sure to insist on genuine Jell-O when you buy. Look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O. Sing My Heart, played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday being Valentine's Day and also Jack Benny's birthday, let us welcome our little Cupid with that old familiar greeting. Are you ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jack Benny.
Happy birthday to me.
Well, hello again. This is Jack Benny talking, and folks, believe me, I am deeply touched. Don, wasn't that lovely the way our audience joined in on that greeting? Gosh, it was so spontaneous and sincere. Huh?
Yes, Jack, it certainly was.
I thought they were better when they rehearsed it.
Phil, I'm talking to Don. Well, Don, another year, another birthday. See, here it is, February again. You know, it's amazing how many prominent people were born in the month of February. And it made it pretty tough for me, too.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, with Washington and Longfellow and Lincoln, it's so hard for me to be outstanding. Really, it's been a terrific struggle.
I can imagine.
Of course, Don, I don't want you to think for a minute that I'm comparing myself to Lincoln or Washington.
Why not? Washington wore a wig, too.
Phil, I'm talking to Don. You know, Don, I will say that my father really thought I was going to grow up to be president.
Well, all fathers have great plans for their children. Why, my dad thought I was going to be a jockey.
A jockey? Well, he must have looked at you through the wrong end of a pair of binoculars. A jockey, yet.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. Don't jump at conclusions. At the age of 17, I was nothing but skin and bones.
Well, those bones are certainly buried now. But you know, Don, getting back to my birthday, gee, the years come along so fast, I can hardly keep track of them.
Oh, they certainly do. Oh, by the way, Jack, how old will you be next Tuesday?
What was that, Don?
You heard him.
Phil, I'm talking to Don.
Well, I'm lonesome.
Well, why don't you join a lodge or something? What were you saying, Don?
I said, how old will you be next Tuesday?
Well, come on, Don, what would you say? Go ahead, give a guess, huh?
Well, I don't know, Jack. I'd say somewhere between 34 and 37.
You would? Well, you didn't quite hit it, Don, but it was almost a bullseye.
There's bull in there somewhere.
Oh, brother. Listen, Phil, you're hardly in a position to make any cracks about my age. Those bags under your eyes are so big, your nose looks like a red cap.
It does, eh?
Yes, and get this. On my 75th birthday, I'll be able to go out on an all-night party, eat a Welsh rarebit with pickles, and on the way home get run over by a milk wagon, and still look better than you do right now. So don't make any cracks about my age.
Jack's right, Phil. He can't be very old and have such nice rosy cheeks all the time.
It could be rouge, you know.
Rouge, Phil, I haven't had rouge on my cheeks since I played an Indian chief for Cecil B. DeMille. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Rain in the Face. Happy birthday.
Ugh, and thanks.
Say, Jack, I didn't know whether I'd see you Tuesday or not, so here, I brought you a birthday present.
Oh, that's swell, Mary, but really, you shouldn't have bought me anything for me.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, it makes Phil and Don look so awfully cheap. You know, huh?
Well, Jack, I was going to get you something, but after all, you have everything.
Oh, I can excuse you, Don, but Phil saw me in the locker room at the country club yesterday, and he knows darn well I need underwear. Was that your underwear? I cleaned my golf clubs with it. Oh, you did, eh?
Hey, are you going to open my present or not?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary. You bet I'm going to, and right now. Imagine cleaning his clubs with my... Well, I'll be darned. Look, fellas, a silk necktie. Gee, thanks, Mary.
You like it?
I'll say. What a lovely color. But what's that little thing crawling around the bottom?
A silkworm. The tie isn't finished yet.
Oh, well, he's going like 60, so it won't be long now. Thanks again, Mary.
And that isn't all. I also wrote a special birthday poem for you.
A poem, too? Well, hit me on the head and clip my tongue. A birthday poem.
Yeah. Say, Jack, how old are you anyway?
Well, how old do you think I am?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Well, go ahead and guess.
Okay. 30?
No.
31?
No.
32?
No.
48?
Shut up! Be a long time, Mary, before I'm 48. Now, let's hear your poem. What's the title of it?
Mary Livingston's Ode to Jack Benny by Mary Livingston.
Oh, you mentioned me, too, didn't you? Well, go ahead, Mary.
Okay. Oh, Jack Benny, oh, Jack Benny, you've had birthdays, but how many? Is it 21 or more? Or twice that much, and more and more? Years ago in old Waukegan, in the state of Illinois, a child was born into the Bennies, and it wasn't Myrna Loy.
Well, of course not Myrna Loy.
T'was a boy, they called him Jackie, and even then he looked quite wacky.
Wacky?
And the good old stork who brought him there shot himself with a revolver.
Now, Mary, that wasn't his attitude at all.
Quiet.
No.
I see you, Jack, at the age of two, with golden curls and eyes of blue.
That's right.
And then I see you 3 years old, with silver threads among the gold.
Mary, now how could I have gray hair at the age of three?
You didn't live right and you know it.
All right, now grow me up and finish this.
Okay. At 12, you said you'd run away unless the fiddle you could play. And when you got one, what do you think? Were you good or did you tink?
Tink?
Yeah, baby talk.
Oh. Well, Mary, this next verse better be the last.
It is.
Oh.
Oh, Jack Benny, oh, Jack Benny, you've had birthdays, but how many? So happy returns and all good wishes from us and Jell-O, so delicious. The end.
Mary, that poem was so good, I'm afraid to follow it with anything verbal. So, Phil, how about an orchestra number?
Wait a minute, Jack. I can't find my baton.
Your baton? Can't you lead without it?
It's not that. I got something in my tooth.
Well, go ahead. I'll look around for it. Hold it a minute. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I'd like to take this opportunity of wishing you a happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And may life grow sweeter as the years roll by.
Well, thank you very much. Now, tell me, who are you?
Just a bunion in the march of time. Goodbye.
You know, folks, I'll bet he has more fun than anybody. Play, Phil.
Thank you.
That was a brand new number called I Better Get Some Shut-Eye, played by Phil Harris, who certainly looks it. You know, folks, Phil never gets to bed. He's what I'd call one sleepy people. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Wait a minute, Jack. I resent that vitriolically.
Vitriolically? Well, some stuff. Why, Phil, you're not only using the word wrong, but you don't even know what it means.
I do, too. I got it from my guitar player, didn't I, Frankie?
Yeah, I learned you a lot of things.
That's what I thought. Phil, there isn't one man in your orchestra that can handle a word of over two syllables.
Is that so? Well, for your information, all the boys in my band went through college.
Well, they didn't get any on them. Vitriolically. Well, I don't even know what it means.
Well, Jack, it's an unusual word, but I think I can explain it to you.
You can, Don?
Why, yes. For instance, you could never use the word this way. A man walked into a grocery store and vitriolically asked the grocer for a package of Jell-O in any one of its six delicious flavors, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
Oh, you couldn't. Well, how could you use the word vitriolically?
That I wouldn't know.
I see, and very clever, Don. Well, so much for our English lesson. And now going from the sublime to Kenny Baker. Say, hey, Kenny, you're a little late. Huh?
I couldn't help it, Jack. I stopped in the store to buy you a birthday present. Here you are, a nice box of candy.
Oh, well, thanks. Hey, well, gee, I'm going to sample one of these right now. Huh? It was sweet of you to remember me, Kenny, but, gee, you didn't have to buy me anything.
That's what you said last year, and you twisted my wrist.
Oh, Kenny, I was only clowning, you know. Say, gosh, look at this. Say, these are the biggest pieces of candy I've ever seen. What are they, anyway?
Chocolate-covered bananas.
Chocolate-covered bananas? Well, that's something new. Here, have one, Don.
Well, thanks, Jack, but I'm cutting down on sweets.
Oh, how about you, Phil?
No, thanks. I'm not a bit hungry.
Mary?
No, thanks. I'm not a bit crazy.
Well, Kenny, it looks like you and I'll have to eat the whole box.
I'm game.
So am I.
That's a suicide pact if I ever heard one.
That's right. Let's forget the whole thing. Well, Kenny, how about a song?
Okay, I've got one for you. Oh, say, Jack.
Yes?
Did you hear Fred Allen, I Pan a You Wednesday night?
No, and I'm not interested. Now, go ahead with your song.
Boy, he sure tore into you.
Yeah. He said your feet were so flat, your socks bagged at the arches.
Well, Phil, I'm not even going to answer him. After all, the man is in bad shape. You know, he's so weak and anemic, and on top of that, his blood circulation is so poor, it's really pathetic.
Alan has poor blood circulation, huh?
Poor? Don, 10 years ago, a rattlesnake bit him on the ankle, and the poison has yet to reach his knee. And the square fellas, he hasn't got any more pulse than a snowman. The whole thing is really pitiful. Go ahead with your song, Kenny.
Okay.
Say, Jack, whatever became of that rattlesnake that bit Fred Allen?
It was knighted, Mary. And now, Kenny, you may sing. Now, hold it a minute. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Yes, yes, what do you want?
I got something to ask you, but first I want to wish you a happy birthday.
Thanks, Rochester, but my birthday isn't until Tuesday.
I know, but that's my payday and we always argue.
All right, now what was it you wanted to ask me?
Say, boss, do we know any Eskimos?
Eskimos? Of course we don't know any Eskimos.
Okay, so long.
So long. Hey, Rochester, wait a minute. What made you ask me if we know any Eskimos?
Well, boss, a big box just came for you. It said happy birthday on it.
Yes?
And when I opened it, there was a polar bear inside.
A polar bear? Oh, it can't be a real bear. It must be a rug.
That's what I thought till it slapped me down.
You mean you let that bear loose in my house? Where is he now?
He's in the bathroom taking a cold shower.
In my bathroom, Rochester, you go right in there and get him out.
Boss, I wouldn't go in there well-armed, tired of living, and directly behind Frank Buck.
Oh, Oh, this sounds fantastic to me. Rochester, I'll bet this whole thing is nothing but a figment of your imagination. What's that?
The figment wants a towel.
Oh, my goodness.
What am I going to do with this bear anyway?
Put him back in the crate and have the cook look up some recipes. I bet Fred Allen had something to do with this. Well, Rochester, keep your eye on him. I'll be home in about half an hour.
Okay, boss. I got to run along now. There's something breathing on my neck.
What?
Wait till I look around. Yep, that's it. So long, boss.
Can you imagine that?
What's the matter, Jack?
Plenty is the matter. There's a polar bear loose in my house.
I told you you should have put in a furnace.
Yeah, that would be a big help. Sing, Kenny. Say, Mary, I wonder how much it would cost to send an alligator to New York. I don't know.
Thanks for everything. Every word, every sigh. Thanks for everything, for bringing me moments like this, for taking the skies of gray and making them blue, for taking my cares away. I tip my heart to you. So thanks for everything, every thrill in your tender caress. Thanks to you alone for all that I'll ever possess. You gave me my reason to dream and made every dream come true. And so for everything, my thanks. Nothing in the world I wouldn't do to be worthy of you. For any time that I am ever blue, you come smiling through. You're my sunny day, you're my only inspiration. Here's all that I can say to show you my appreciation. So thanks for everything, every thrill in your tender caress. Thanks to you alone for all that I've ever possessed. You gave me my reason to dream, then made every dream come true. And so for everything I give my thanks all to you.
Thanks for Everything, sung by Kenny Baker. And Kenny, for finesse and feeling and delicacy of tone, you are definitely preeminent among young American tenors.
Gee, ain't I something?
Yes, and I wish I could tell you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Valentine's Day next Tuesday, tonight, the Benny Art and Bingo Players will present a romantic little drama about an old maid entitled Love Finds Annie Hardy. Or It's About Time. Now,
am I going to be Annie?
No, Mary. I hired a genuine old maid for the part. Where are you, Miss Mildew? I mean, Miss Muldew. Where are you?
Right here. Where's my man? Yahoo!
Control yourself, Miss Muldew. Now, in this drama, I will be Annie's paw, Mary will be her maw, and Don, Phil, and Kenny will be rivals for Annie's hand.
Oh, no.
Count me out. So long, Jack.
Come back here, all of you. Don't worry, Annie. We'll hook one of them.
I hope I get the fat one. Yahoo!
Why, Don, you're blushing. Anyhow, the locale of our play is the thriving little town of Off Center, Indiana. As the scene opens, we find Ma and Pa seated in the parlor of the little love nest they built 50 years ago. Curtain, music.
Love, your magic spell is everywhere. Tum, 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 tum. Well, Ma, here it is Valentine's Day, and the air is full of romance.
It is, eh?
Yep.
Well, open the window and let it out.
Oh, come on, Ma, this being Valentine's Day, how about a little kiss?
Get away from me, you old fool.
Okay, I couldn't find your lips and all those wrinkles anyhow. Ouch! I was only joking, Ma.
This is no time for jokes. Our daughter Annie is 40 years old and she ain't married yet.
Well, she'd have been married long ago, wasn't for hay fever.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, the fellas can hear her wheezing a block away and she can't sneak up on them. You sent her down to the beauty parlor to get a mud pack like I told you to?
Yeah, but she had one last year and it was no good.
Why not?
After 3 days, the darn mud wore off.
Oh.
She's the homeliest gal I ever seen.
Well, like mother, like daughter. Ouch, stop hitting me. If I wasn't petrified, I'd be black and blue.
Speaking of Annie, what's the idea of getting her all dressed up today?
Well, I got a scheme, Ma. There's only three single fellas left in town, ain't they?
Yep. There's Tubby Wilson, Daffy Baker, and Twitch Harris.
That's right. I invited all three of them up here today, and it's our job to get one of them to marry our daughter.
How do you know they'll show up?
Hee-hee, I told them you were going to do a fan dance. All's fair in love and war. I bet that's one of the boys now. Pull your bustle up, Ma.
That's the footstool.
Oh. Come in.
Howdy, folks.
Well, if it ain't Twitch Harris. Hiya, Twitch.
Finer than silk. What's on your mind, Zeke?
Got an important question to ask you. Here, have a glass of cider first. That'll get him, Ma.
Cider? Hey, wait a minute. This stuff ain't intoxicating.
It better be.
Quiet, Ma. Say, Twitch, I don't want to seem personal, but have you ever thought of marrying a girl and settling down?
If you're referring to that lop-eared daughter of yours, no.
Now, hold on, Twitch. Have you seen Annie since you got her new teeth?
Yeah, I went to the preview.
Well, she may not be the prettiest gal in town, but she's smart and stylish. You know, she got her hair up.
Up where?
Upstairs.
Keep quiet, Ma. We got to get our daughter married.
Say, Zeke, I thought you were going to raffle Annie off.
I tried to, but I couldn't sell any tickets, so I changed it to a duck.
A duck? That's cheating.
It is not. She walks like one.
Mary, I wish you'd shut up. You're cramping my style.
Gosh, I bet that's Annie now. Let me out of here.
Quick, Harris, get away from that window.
So long, folks.
Doggone that low-down Harris. He stole my jug.
Don't get excited, Pa. You can get another jug.
Yeah, but where the heck can I get another finger? Doggone it. Well, Ma, let's see if we can land the next one. Come in.
Good evening, folks.
Well, well. Look, Ma, it's Tubby Wilson.
Hello, Tubby. Have some chairs and sit down.
Yeah.
What's up, Zeke?
Tubby, how'd you like to marry my daughter Annie?
Annie?
Hold him, Ma.
I got him. I got him, Pa. I got him.
Let go of me, old bat, and put your glasses on. Well, that's two strikes, but we ain't out yet. Come in.
Hello, everybody.
Well, it's young Baker. Son, I'll make it short and snappy. How'd you like to get married?
I don't know. Is it fun?
Ain't nothing like it, my boy. How'd you like to tie up with my Annie?
Gosh, I couldn't do that.
Hold on now. Just give me one reason why you don't want to marry my daughter.
She frightens me.
We'll get used to her. Now listen, Baker. If you take her for your bride, I'll treat you both to a honeymoon at Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls? Can I push her in?
That's up to you, my boy. What I don't see don't hurt me.
That's right. Just get her out of the house.
Yes, sirree.
Okay, it's a deal.
Come in, come in. Oh, it's you. Hello, Annie.
Hello, Pa. Hello, Ma.
Back from the beauty parlor already?
Yep. How do I look?
If you didn't pay your bill, don't.
I
got good news for you, gal. Young Baker here has consented to make the supreme sacrifice. He's going to marry you.
And I got good news for you, too. I already got myself a husband.
A husband? Jehoshaphat.
Keepers creepers.
So you're married, eh? Well, where is he?
Out on the porch. Come on in, mister.
Mister? Gosh, there ain't much to him, is there, Ma?
Well, he's a man. That's more than we expected.
That's right.
Hello, everybody.
Come in, young feller, and congratulations.
What for?
Say, if you don't mind my asking a personal question, how'd you come to marry my daughter anyway?
Well, I'm a traveling salesman. I was just getting off the train when this girl grabbed me and put my cedar right in the Cedar Foster straight away face. And I didn't know whether the frame of Cedar Foster's feet or nice and stunning mate. And you brought the cedar right in the Cedar Foster's friend or bought this bed. And here I am.
Oh, she took you off your guard, eh?
Yeah, and not only that. You know, the cedar's part of the tour, but Cedar Foster's for me, yeah. I don't want to fry the Cedar Foster's for the moon. It's Cedar Foster's for the Foster's face. Father, what do I do?
Too late to do anything, young man. You're hooked just like I was. Ouch, Playfield.
If you're looking for a delicious new dessert that your family is sure to enjoy, you needn't look any farther, because here it is. It's the new Jell-O chocolate pudding. Chocolate pudding with that old-fashioned homemade goodness. It has a lovely, rich texture, a satin smoothness, a tempting color, and it tastes swell. For it's real chocolatey, full-flavored and rich, so delicious that every creamy spoonful brings you back for more. And Jell-O chocolate pudding is just one of three new Jell-O puddings. There's Jell-O butterscotch pudding, mellow and smooth with a golden taffy color that tempts your appetite, and a true butterscotch flavor that satisfies it. And then there's Jell-O vanilla pudding, creamy and delicate and inviting, an all-family favorite. And these three new Jell-O puddings are all quick and easy to make. The simple directions are in every package. A good idea is to buy three packages at a time. So ask your grocer tomorrow for Jell-O chocolate, butterscotch, and vanilla pudding, the real homemade kind.
This is the last number of the 20th program in the new Jell-O series, and we will be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. And oh yes, I'd like to take this opportunity of congratulating Boy Scouts and their leaders everywhere on their 29th birthday anniversary of Scouting in America. You know, Mary, I used to be a Boy Scout when I was a kid.
Now someone has to help you across the street.
They do not. Good night, folks.
J-E-L-L-O.
Kenny Baker appears on the Jell-O program through courtesy of Mervyn LeRoy Productions. This is the National Broadcasting Company.